Now, Andrew Marsh is from the group Christian Concern. He's done a lot of work researching in this area, so I'm sure it'd be great to chat to him. Let's see if he's going to be available for a quick chat. Hopefully we'll be able to track him down.
Hello, Andrew Marsh speaking.
Oh, hi there, Andrew. This is Marcus calling from Premier Christian Radio.
Hi, Marcus.
Andrew, I'm live on our NewsHour programme, and we're talking about this idea of children seeking medical treatment on the NHS for gender identity support. What's your take on this, and on this idea of whether young children in their early teens or even younger should be able to get access to this sort of help or support?
Well, I think the vast majority of people will find it extraordinary that we are even discussing this, let alone that that this is beginning to happen, that children, perhaps as young as 10, but even 12, 14, could be encouraged to take drugs, medication, to interrupt the natural process of puberty. It is a surprise to be discussing it, but we must discuss it because this needs to be confronted.
Andrew, it might be challenged. It might be a surprise, but there's 700 children who've been referred to clinics, so it's not a small number of children.
No, and in fact, the numbers are growing, which is part of the reason why we need to engage with this and confront and challenge it. I mean, look, what we're talking about here is we live in a country where children aren't able to drive until they're 17, we can't vote until we're 18, and yet we are suggesting that children aged perhaps 10, 12, 14, are in a position to make a decision on a course that has huge consequences and significance and life-changing implications. And I wonder how many of us would be prepared to be held to all the decisions that we made at that young age. And the sad reality is that this is destructive and damaging, and it's actually more about the imposing of an ideology of adults on children, ideology of adults trumping the innocence and well-being of children. And children actually need to be rescued from this, not pushed into it. These drugs are very significant. Concerns have been raised about the effects, the physical effect, particularly on bone growth, on brain development, and on the possible implications for future fertility.
I want to look at this issue, Andrew, because we were just hearing from Christina Beardsley, who's from an organisation called the Sibyls, which is a Christian group for transgender people, and she was saying these blockers, this medical drug that's given out, simply acts as a delay, and it doesn't kind of stop any development growth and through puberty. It's just a delay, and it can be reversed at any time. So she disputed the idea that it was damaging. What would be your response?
I think we definitely need to confront that head on, because we're not at this point talking about the hormone treatment or even surgery. We're talking about these drugs that are presented as merely delaying the onset of puberty. But let's think what that involves. That is interrupting the natural process of puberty, and that can't be without consequences. As I say, that concerns have been raised about the physical risks, bone growth, brain development, the challenge for fertility in the future. But also let's think about the social consequences of this and the psychological consequences. We know, we remember that at this age, a lot is changing. Your body is changing. You have feelings and experience and feelings that you experience feelings perhaps you've never experienced before. It is a confusing time. And if you start down this path of taking drugs that interrupt that natural process and offset it, that's only going to make you more different from those around you and add to the confusion and chaos. And I would say as well that as many as four in five of perhaps more even of children who report some kind of confusion over their gender identity actually go on to that feeling passes without any medical or surgical intervention. It just passes as they grow older. So this type of treatment, if it's available, and particularly if it's encouraged, actually puts large numbers of children at risk of going down some a route that is very damaging, destructive.
What's the alternative then, Andrew? Because we have hundreds of children who are seeking help. If we were to take that help away and they're left to kind of fend to for themselves, how are we best able to support them?
Oh, absolutely. They must be left to themselves in that sense, or abandoned in any way. I mean, as Christians, we know that we are each of us made in God's image, and that we're precious in his sight. Being made in his image involves being made male or female. Maleness and femaleness are a good thing. They're not accidental. They're not a problem. They're actually something to be celebrated. And there can be points of confusion about that as we grow up. But we need to help people, actually, rather than to challenge the gender that God has given to us, actually to recognize it and to celebrate it. And the fundamental question at stake here, I think, is this. If you have a discrepancy, if someone feels a discrepancy between the physical reality of their body and their perception of themselves and their gender in their mind, what do you do with that? Do you say, well, what we need to do, obviously, is to bring the physical reality of the body into line with the mental perception? Or do you actually help people to engage with the mental perception and the reasons for it? And if we drew a parallel with anorexia, for example, then you have someone there who is feels that they are chronically overweight, or feels that they are overweight, and yet at the same time is dangerously underweight, the physical reality. How do we respond to that? We don't say, well, let's take physical action on the body to try and make it even more underweight, to try and help this person. No, the way that we help the person is to engage with the mental psychological issues that give rise to that false perception. And that's what needs to happen here. And we need to put this in the wider context, I think, of our society walking down a path that's of rejecting God's pattern for marriage and family and for the goodness of male and female. And this, sadly, is just yet another milestone on that path, the journey that hasn't delivered what it promised of relational fulfillment or of relational freedom. Actually, it's brought brokenness and pain and chaos and confusion. And so we actually, with kindness and compassion, really need to speak up clearly on this, and particularly for the sake of children who are at a stage that they may be very confused and in chaos.
Andrew, we need to stop there. It's a huge issue which needs more debate. Unfortunately, on the News Hour, we don't have that time. But thank you so much for your contribution. Really do appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Walker.
That's Andrew Marsh there from Christian Concern. We're talking about this issue of the number of children seeking medical help for problems with gender identity.